welcome to another broadcast of Celebrating Truth with Dr. E. Fay Williams, Esquire, on the Artist First Radio Network. Dr. Williams currently serves as National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women and President of Natural Health Options. All past shows can be downloaded free on demand. Visit the archives for Dr. Williams and Celebrating Truth at artistfirst.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you so much, Tony, and hello, I'm Fay Williams, your host. Welcome again to Celebrating Truth, brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. Our Celebrating Truth producer is, of course, Ms. Clem Clark, and we want to send a little shout-out to her out there, and I hope it's sunny California. She's up in San Francisco, but anyway, we want to send a little shout-out to her. She worked so hard to get us wonderful guests, and we're so proud of her. She's also hosted the show in my absence, and she brings great guests, and she's brought one of those great guests to us today. We're going to be talking with Dr. Carol Ann Malizia in just a few minutes. And then after the first time I called her name, I told her I'm going to call her Dr. Carol Ann. So we'll just go with that. But anyway, I want to welcome our guest in just a few minutes and thank all of the Occupy Movement participants around the world for what they're doing on behalf of those of us in that 99% for whom they are protesting. And in the last few minutes of the show today, we're going to be talking with Dick Gregory. We had an experience last night of going down to the Washington, D.C., Occupy D.C., and we want to talk just a little bit about that because, indeed, these young people are making a lot of sacrifices for all of us who are in that 99%, so we don't want to forget them. They, of course, you know, had a few things happen to them last night, seemingly here, as well as some of the other Occupy places in the nation. But, you know, nothing that happens to them seems to stop them. They are determined. We've got a lot going on, of course, around the country. We have that sexual abuse against young boys. That's still running rampant. And this past weekend, we began hearing about a tennis coach abusing young women tennis players. We've got a lot of work to do in our country. Dick Gregory, Art Rocker, and I continue to lead the effort against British Petroleum on behalf of the poor and the disenfranchised, all the underserved people who have not been paid from that disastrous Gulf oil spill. But they're going to get paid. We're going to keep it up until we get them paid. Also, don't forget about the 2012 elections. That's going to be coming up soon. And remember to register, update your registration, and register on a party, because that's the only way that you can help to decide who your party's nominees will be. Celebrating Truth is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. We are the number one organization dedicated especially to the needs of black women and their families, and we are delighted to bring Celebrating Truth to you every week. Want you to visit our website at www.nationalcongressbw.org. You'll find out lots of great information there, including greetings from our First Lady, Michelle Obama, who spoke to us for our last big brunch in September. And if you'd like to join us, we are so pleased to have you, because we do a lot of things in the communities all around the nation. So just give us a call any weekday at 202-678-6788. That's 202-678-6788. But before you call us, be sure you go to our website at nationalcongressbw.org. You can find out a lot about what we're doing. Then if you just want to donate to some of our wonderful causes, you can do so on our website to help us with our community service programs. Go again to www.nationalcongressbw.org. And don't forget, when you come to Washington, D.C., stop by the Capitol Visitor Center and see Sojourner Truth. That's the memorial our organization donated to Congress, and Sojourner presides over Emancipation Hall. Being the first to be unveiled there, that was history-making, and then she was the first black woman ever to have a permanent memorial in the United States Capitol. Yes, we celebrate women and all of our achievements. We never forget to also celebrate the works of men, who we call our good brothers, and young people who are doing things to make life better for all of us. So, we're about to go now to our wonderful guest. Hello, Dr. Carol Ann. How are you?
I am outstanding, Dr. Williams, and it sounds like you are well and in motion, too.
Oh, yes, just getting back from Birmingham, Alabama, where we got a brand new chapter down there this past weekend. So we're just so excited. We are on the move. We've got about almost 80 chapters now around the country, and we're still growing.
Wow, I love it. Talk about purpose-driven.
Yeah, okay, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But tell me about this U.S. Military Academy. How did you wind up at West Point, located at West Point? And did you live in that area? Were your parents in the military?
Well, actually, yes. It did start out with, I was born and raised on West Point, and my sister was part of the, as a trailblazer, she was part of the first class of female cadets ever to go through West Point. And her classmate was retired Brigadier General Rebecca Halstead, who now works regularly with us at Girls, Gals, and Gurus and has a tremendous story of her own journey out of struggles through fibromyalgia and 17 medications, and unfortunately had to retire just shy of her second star. And 3 years later, we have her off every single medication, and she is not surviving but absolutely thriving and carrying a passionate message as well.
Wonderful. Now, it looks like you're a perpetual student like I've been much of my life. I see that you've got all kinds of credentials, and we kind of identify here with one thing, although you do it from a different perspective, but in law school, I studied sports medicine. I was, I attended Grambling State University, where we have great, wholesome football down there. Mm-hmm. We don't have all those kinds of problems we've been hearing about. And I just got really interested in it and studied it from a legal point of view. But I see you did it in injuries and physical mm-hmm. fitness and what have you. So tell us a little bit about how you went into that field.
Well, I think that I started out in pre-med, and I was always fascinated by the spirit to perform. You know, I grew up as a very committed dancer at all the disciplines and went on to become a professional competitive ballroom dancer for a period of time. Mm-hmm. So I really always identified with what was the edge that athletes needed and how could we get them better quicker and faster. And a lot of what I found out in performance-based functional evaluations is it really had to do with the relationship between the spine and how well it was communicating. Just like anything else, Dr. Williams, it goes mm-hmm. back to how well something is being communicated in a relationship, in a business, as well as in the body. And I was fascinated about what we could do to integrate things like whole food nutrition, body mechanics, so that we could really have a positive impact on a lot of these professional athletes that I came in contact with in my career, and then also the weekend warriors. You know, they have their own spirit to perform, whether it's because they're reliving their youth or they want to make sure that they age slower, because in my opinion, many people are dying too young and living too long, you know? So we want to make that a worthwhile trip.
Now, you mentioned that. I think most professional athletes, or many professional athletes, I should say, have a very short, a short playing span, but also a short lifespan of something like 54, 55 years old. What do you think is the cause of that?
Well, we're looking at that very closely, and I will tell you quite honestly that we can no longer disregard the impact of repetitive stress, what that builds up in the body, whether that is an accumulation of free radicals, which we know that's true, but it also builds up this chronic inflammation of tissue. And whether it is expressed through the GI system in the gut or whether it's expressed through the extremities, it's still a continuous impact on the nervous system. And unfortunately, those impacts, I mean, we now know that the brain, even though it's covered by a very tough calvarium, we know that the brain itself has a consistency of butter. So when it is continuously impacted, and we're studying NFL post-concussive issues, not just, 5 years out, Dr. Williams, we're studying these guys that have been retired 20 and 30 years, mm-hmm. if they live that long, and the effects on not only the brain, but you got to remember, the brain is our central communication system through the spine. And if the nervous system is not able to adapt to its physiology, we expire. So I really think that these repetitive stress disorders, there's so much room there to combat these accumulations of inflammation and as well as free radicals and accumulative traumas through things like alternative measures.
So is there a lot of research going on in that area? I guess I've known a lot of athletes and some, one day they look like they were the picture of health, and then they retired, and then pretty soon they were out of shape, they didn't look like the same person,
That's
and then
right.
shortly after that, they were dying. So So what is it? You think the retirement itself has something to do with it?
That's an excellent question. Things really go down to some very simple basics. What we find, especially from a chiropractic perspective, it boils down to what you think, how you move, and what you eat. Those are always the three underpinnings of any situation, is how people think, their most repetitive, predominant thought, because if they think as so, they'll act as so. Number two, it's what they eat, and number three, it's how they move. So often in our culture, people think that, you know, when you retire, you get a watch, and you just sit in a chair and watch television. And many of these people are the ones that are having heart attacks.
You think that means retiring the body and everything else?
Absolutely. You retire a purpose. I mean, listen to how energized you are. And I think that it's wonderful when we can start to give hope and give empowerment by making small food choice changes, for example, getting people away from the soda and the wheat and the chicken, especially our women. Mm-hmm. It creates new physiological changes within the body that allows the body to adapt in a different way. So I think that we really need to start examining what it is to age. You know, we don't celebrate wisdom. We certainly don't celebrate our elderly in this population the way that I think that we should, and give them empowering understandings of what is possible rather than what we expect. You know, we have a negative connotation to the aging process.
And you know, sometimes we think we can't have an event unless we have food. And I think that's wrong. You know, you talked about many of the things that we have that are not good for our bodies. But do you talk with people about the fact that you can have a meeting without having to have, as you said, Cokes and cookies and potato chips and what have you?
Well, I love that you're asking me that question. You're talking to a woman that refused to go into a leadership conference that I was asked to be the keynote speaker at, and there was about 400 executives in that room. And I called the banquet manager over, and I said, see all those cans of diet soda? I need you to go in that room and collect all of them before I walk in the room. Well, I certainly had everybody's attention, but my dear old dad taught me a long time ago, Dr. Williams, if you don't stand for something, you'd fall for everything. And I can't sit by idly and watch people literally pour cyanide into their system because of the negative effects that have been well documented that aspartame has in diet sodas that well-intended people drink on a regular basis because they think that they're doing something good for their body. Mm-hmm. So that created quite a stir, but I agree with you, and I think that having healthy snacks is a great vogue to start to take off. And I know at Girls, Gals, and Gurus, we really talk about that. Matter of fact, when we have meetings, we do blended green drinks, and we'll do coconut water, and we'll start to introduce people's palates to different ideas of how they can get more energy, not have that fogged-in feeling, and also start to reduce weight and increase lean muscle mass. Because as women,
and also energy. People don't realize that when you overeat, you lose your energy, that, you know, you become tired. I think they think they have to eat in order to keep up their energy, but when you overdo it, you certainly can't get around to doing all the things that you want to do. And I think that's what some people just kind of like eat, and then they're ready to lie down, they're mm-hmm. ready to sit down, and then, you know, for some people it's just constantly they're eating or drinking something, thinking that they're hungry when maybe all their body really needs is water. Let's talk a little bit about water. Do you talk with people about the necessity of water to the body?
I certainly do. Water is one of the most powerful things on the planet, and it's also the type of water that we drink. Many of our waters today are highly acidic. Many of them are bottled tap waters. And some of these other types of waters that are now available in our culture is really interesting to take a look at. Things like ionized water. I, myself, I've been using Kangen water since I taught in Japan. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Williams, it's fascinating when we go outside of our culture and start to study what's happening outside. And mind you, you're talking to an Italian, if you can't tell from my last name. So I love my good old grandma and my mom's cooking, mm-hmm. but I allow myself during the week to eat more regimented and to drink a ton of ionized water because I tend to run more acidic. If bodies are more alkaline, tend to have more allergies, then we don't necessarily want to introduce a lot of alkalinization. But ionized water is very, very important, and most people don't recognize that we need our enzymes when we eat to do their job. And one of the worst things you want to do is drink a lot at a meal. you want to make sure you're drinking your water at times away from your meal so that your enzymes in your stomach don't get diluted, so your hydrochloric acid can do its job, and you want to make sure that you can break down and assimilate your nutrition. So that the good news is that when you want to have a good cheat, have a good cheat. You know, eat the chocolate with great joy. Just don't do it every single day, and make sure that it's a higher quality or organic or homemade chocolate, which is just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Well, I guess I can have me some chocolate. Actually, my doctor told me I could have dark chocolate sometime.
Absolutely. It is fabulous. Actually, I'll have to send you the recipe for raw chocolate.
All right.
Tom will throw a party for your mouth. It's fabulous.
Okay. Now, earlier you mentioned girls, gals, and gurus, I believe it is. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, girls, gals, and gurus was inspired by myself and another international speaker, wellness expert, and health coach by the name of Dr. Liz Anderson Peacock. And we became very aware about 8 years ago when we were on the speaking circuit that many of the young ladies, particularly in the chiropractic colleges, were really desirous of learning from us older girls our wisdom. And as we started to put together what a girl is, what a gal is, and what a guru is, we recognized that they're very much associated to certain behaviors. The girl is very much about what I need right now. If I need that French fry, if I need that chocolate, if I need those shoes, how many colors do they come in? That's very girl behavior. It's instinct, it's instinctual, and it usually has a vibrational quality to it that is an instantaneous reaction. Whereas a gal, many of us find ourselves locked in gals. Our gal behavior is one that is overburdened. We're trying to be all things to all people. We're overbooked. We're juggling a lot of balls, whether it's family, children, grandparents, etc., and we become not only underappreciated, undervalidated, and we see that it's only through achievements that we are defined. And unfortunately, we usually have a wake-up call around our mid-40s where we start to understand that we've either been delivered a devastating diagnosis or a bankruptcy or a divorce or, God forbid, the death of our loved ones, and we have to really reevaluate who we are and how we show up in the world. And then the guru, that's a really interesting one. The guru really represents the spiritual side of life, understanding that there is a greater good at work, understanding that there is a purpose behind what you're doing, though you might not understand it in the current circumstances. But the guru inside of us would ask a question, what can I learn from this chaos? What is the message I need to get? And it's very fascinating when we start to talk about how you make choices in life. Mental choices as a girl, as a gal, and as a guru. Financial choices as a girl, a gal, and a guru. Even nutritional choices as a girl, as a gal, and as a guru. And a guru knows that she, in order to feed her spirit, she needs enzyme-dense energy food that doesn't have a high rate of conversion to fat or sugar. So that gives you a little idea of where girls, gals, and gurus came from, and now we've, over the last course of these 8 years, we've developed the motto that beauty and wellness is an inside-out job, and we've attracted some amazing women that now speak regularly at our conferences as well as participate in our workshops and really spread a message inside the U.S. as well as out how we can really move our women forward in how they think, how they move, and what they eat.
And before you go into detail on beauty as an inside-out job, I just want to say to those who are just joining us, you're listening to Celebrating Truth. I'm Faye Williams, your host, and we're talking with Dr. Carol Ann Malizia. And we're having a great time. She's giving us lots of great information, and we're just talking about a group that she established. Now, let's go back to that motto of beauty is an inside-slash-out job. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, I'm fascinated by that. I think because in the United States, I was very aware that a lot of times if we look at tabloids or popular magazines, Dr. Williams, there's been so much of a focus of what's on the outside that so many of our women really just underestimate their own beauty. They don't understand that they have a unique purpose in this world. They forget the fact that when we clean up our menus and even when we clean up our attitudes and when we clean up our minds, the real beauty from inside is allowed to shine. I've had the privilege of working with so many women that are in their 6th, 7th, and 8th decade in life. You can't find more beautiful women. And I often wondered, what does it take? Why is it that we don't get to that place of beauty until that age? And I think that's when we have the ability to really shine from the inside out. And that, for us, especially as chiropractors, because we're inside-out type of thinkers, you know, when you remove pain naturally from the body, you allow someone to step into a better vision of themselves. And that was a lot of the basis of G2G, is teaching women that beauty and wellness truly is an inside-out job.
Wow. Now, I understand you've brought this message of healthy alternatives for women to other countries. Tell our listeners a little bit about your travels and why that's so important.
Well, it's been thrilling because traveling to Japan, my business partner, Dr. Liz, and I, we've taught in Japan regularly. We've taught in Australia. We've taught in Italy. We've taught in Canada quite regularly. It's really fascinating to see that this beautiful tapestry called women all over the world, we have so many similar challenges. We have so many similar needs, and we have so many similar limiting beliefs as women. And it's fascinating to me that what the culture imposes on so many women and how when we work together, wow, there are just infinite possibilities of stepping into our own truths and really supporting each other on a global level to make change that only women can do. So I think it's been incredibly eye-opening to see how much women are alike, even though that we're different depending on where we live in the globe. We're so much alike as far as what our needs are, how we have a desire to make a difference, and how we really truly impact the world, whether that's the world of your family, whether that's the world of your church, whether it's the world of your profession, or whether it's, you know, on a global level because of a movement you started out from a place of disaster or chaos that afflicted a woman in her life.
You know, I've been really blessed. I've had an opportunity like you to travel all over the world, and I find what you're saying to be so true. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to speak at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, and we had a group of women, and their theme was challenges women face in business, I believe. And these women had all kinds of businesses, but they were so eager not only to hear from others, but to share their experiences. And I think that's one of the good things about being a woman, you know, is that women generally like to share their knowledge with others.
I agree.
Now, in addition to communicating pertinent health issues unique to women, which we'll go into shortly, what other conversations are you and your business partner focused on with girls, gals, and gurus?
Well, we really try to focus on all of the attributes that really go into our daily living. You know, how is your time management? How is that working for you or not working for you? Where is a woman making time for herself? See, one of the things that we have coined in Girls, Gals, and Gurus, Dr. Williams, is many women wake up in their mid-40s with this empty pitcher syndrome, we call it, which means that they had a full pitcher and they've doled out water to their children, water to their husband, water to their church, water to their business, and they wake up with this empty pitcher wondering why they have nothing left for themselves. And shifting that paradigm, because it's very challenging for women who, as you say, we are innate nurturers, innate bridge builders. It's very challenging for us sometimes to really be okay taking care of ourselves, much less asking for help. So we really, really dive into creating tools and resources to shift that paradigm for women so that they have the opportunity to step into a better version of themselves than they currently have because of the fact that they have this empty pitcher. And unfortunately, as we said, sometimes we have a wake-up call through a debilitating disease or a change in financial or marital status.
And, you know, one of the things I find is that we think we have to do everything. We have to play all the positions. And men have an advantage because many of them play sports, and they learn that, you know, being a good team player means playing your part well, but relying on others to do certain other things. You know, they don't, the quarterback doesn't try to do the blocking or the running for the running back or what have you. And that's it's a good lesson for women to at least learn something about sports and to, you know, to begin to rely on some others to do some of the things and kind of concentrate on doing your part well and not believing that you've got to do everything in order to make you a good person.
That is an excellent, excellent insight, Dr. Williams. And I'll tell you that consistently when we have our conferences, 30% of our audience is male. because, and I say, and I invite them, I think smart men want to know how women tick, because what man does not have energized women that surround him? He has a mother, he has a wife, he has a daughter. I mean, men need to get good at women so that we can have better relationships and lower our divorce rate.
Well, we're learning from some that they some have both a wife and girlfriend.
Yeah, well, I have to admit you're right.
Yeah, well, we just hope most of the guys we know are not like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, let's go to the multi-generational focus. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when we first put together Girls, Gals, and Gurus, we also came to the understanding that our purpose, well, we knew that our mission was to deliver innovative lifestyle strategies through education and inspiration. And then we also came to understand that we really wanted to convey the understanding of how to live, how to love, how to learn, but most importantly, how to live a legacy. You know, we talk about leaving a legacy, but we really want to live a legacy in the generations to come. So it's so important to us. I mean, sometimes we'll have young women's workshops that are 15, 16, 17 years old, just to start them on the path of thinking self-responsibility, self-discipline. Yes means yes and no means no. And I don't have to be judged based on my body, based on my color, based on anything.
My clothing. I get to get judged.
What?
My clothing or any of that.
Exactly. Stuff. Oh, my goodness. I have a rule, and it's a no-be rule. I don't want to see your butts, your bellies, or your boobs professionally.
All right.
Absolutely not. Gets a little down and dirty, but it needs to be said. You know, women have to decide how they want to show up. There's a time and a place for that. I mean, let the girls hang out. Mm-hmm. But in business, there's no place for that.
Mm. Now, what do you think it is that makes women tick more than anything else? And the same for men. You talked a little bit about men coming to the meetings.
Well, I think that what's important for what makes women tick is women need to know, number one, that they're appreciated and they're valued. And it starts with having them learn more about themselves. Understanding, you know, I do that. Wow, you know, it's really important to me that I control everything. I guess it's because I care so much. You know, and I do get really short-tempered when something is X, Y, and Z. So creating that awareness, but I think what makes women tick is them wanting to be part of something that's bigger, having a bigger impact on their family, having a bigger impact professionally, having a bigger impact in the world, knowing that their efforts and that their voices are not falling on deaf ears. And as far as gentlemen are concerned, you know, we got to remember that the soul only has a purpose, not a gender. It just depends on what garage we have this time around. You know, I sometimes think that there's a good shot that I must have been a man in my other life, because in this life I'm about 5'2" and 118 pounds dripping wet. But you know, it's so funny because I think so often again that in this spirit of collaboration, it's so important that we value our male mentors. Certainly, they're never going to have a menstrual cycle. Certainly, they're never going to have the experiences that we're blessed with that make us women. But there is a space there to have a collaborative effort to learn from male mentors, as well as there is to learn from female mentors.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you often invite men to attend your conferences and your gatherings. And I find men are generally in these conferences of two types, because we do the same thing. We invite men to our events, but they either sit there almost in shock or in awe of these women and how smart they are and what they want and what they're doing, or they either try to take over the meeting. What do you find most often?
Well, you know, I kind of had to handle that right at the get-go, Dr. Williams, and I think having a retired brigadier general on my stage really shut them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, so we didn't have to worry about them necessarily outranking her. However, her message is delivered in such a way that it really cuts through. You know, when you're, and it's funny because General Halston and I have shared many anecdotal stories being the first woman to do X, Y, and Z, especially being among, you know, some of the earlier women in the profession, you know, in a male-dominated profession. I'm sure you had that as well.
Yes.
You know, I think that men sometimes are really surprised what they can learn, because they're supposed to have all the answers in their DNA and in their mind and in their perceptions. And I think that it's actually quite a lot of fun when you wake them up to understanding that there's more to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you find that men who have daughters who are, you know, coming up now, sort of have a rude awakening sometime in terms of what these young women can do, will tolerate, and won't tolerate. They learn that sometimes from their own daughters, and I think, you know, it's good when men do have daughters because they're so accustomed to being in charge and mm-hmm. knowing what to do and how to do and telling everybody what to do. And young people now, you know, have ideas of their own. They don't just bow to the fact that, well, he's my father or he's, you know, whatever, and I have to do what he tells me to do. They have ideas of their own at a very young age, and many of them are determined to carry out those ideas and do what they want to do, which, you know, is not necessarily meaning to put their fathers down, but just to say, I'm independent, I can do this. The mm-hmm. fact that I'm a girl doesn't mean that I can't do many things that maybe have never been done before. So I think it's a good thing. We're now seeing women's basketball, women's, you know, sports of all kind, women going into all kinds of different fields. I know we're still having some challenges with women in the what they call the STEM courses, engineering and math and that kind of thing, science. But we're working on that, and mm-hmm. I know
I agree.
That,
it's a matter of time.
Yes, exactly. I know President Obama has set up a council for women, going into STEM, where you have speakers that will go around and talk with elementary and junior high school young women to get them more involved in these fields, because a lot of times they shy away from them just because no one's ever talked with them about this is not a man's field. This is a field that women can go into if they want, but it's just a matter of being exposed to it. I want to ask something else about the conditions. What conditions do you find most frequently affecting the quality of women's lives here in the U.S.?
Well, I think most frequently, if we really step back and take a wide view lens, it really has to be this issue of chronic inflammation. I think that inflammation, and as we study it in other cultures, it's the basis for cardiovascular disease, it's the basis for diabetes, it's the basis for cancers, and I think that it is very important that we really wrap our arms around what contributes to that inflammatory process here in America. I mean, unfortunately, that our American food supply has really, really been tampered with. And I think over time, unfortunately, it has led us, particularly women, to a very unhealthy state. I think a lot of the hormones, pesticides, fungicides, and I used to also refer to them as suicides, that have been utilized in the crops and in the farming and in many ways have been incredibly detrimental to women, and we see this. I see this even in my own practice. I mean, I'm taking care of 14 and 15 and 16-year-old girls that look like premenopausal women. They're carrying around back fat. They have larger breast tissue. They're constantly sweating from all the excessive hormones that have been pumped into specifically our chicken. That is mm-hmm. probably one of the things, Dr. Williams, I have spearheaded the most, is mm-hmm. to remove my women from eating processed chicken because of all of the high hormone content that we continue to add estrogens and inflammation dump that into our food supply, and our bodies just are not going to adapt to that. And we can see that we have escalating issues in healthcare right now. You know, these challenges are not going away, and we have to look at what's common to the entire population. And I think this issue of inflammatory foods is something that is very important that we get our hands around. You know, going back to the simple things, you know, the nuts, the vegetables, raw nuts, raw vegetables, you know, drinking things that the body can cool itself down with as opposed to creating more heat in the system. So I really think that anything that we talk about, chronic fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, chronic arthritis, you know, all of these issues means people are doing the same thing in the same way, meaning they're eating certain types of foods, they're being exposed to certain types of stressors inside the body that the body just can't adapt to.
Now, what types of speakers do you typically have at your gatherings?
Typically speaking, we have been very blessed. We bring in wellness experts. We have medical doctors that also have a background as naturopaths. We also bring in that military component because we have such a huge amount of military now in our culture that there are, it's one of the largest growing populations right now in the United States, especially our female veteran base, and they have such unique issues that we've been very blessed to work with an organization called Grace After Fire, which helps female veterans reintegrate after their tour of duty as a wife, as a mother, to be gainfully employed, and really addresses a lot of these issues that we support through Girls, Gals, and Gurus. But we bring in retired brigadier generals, as well as we have a woman that teaches with us who was one of the first women to be in air combat in the Air Force. So we really have a myriad of people. We also have a fabulous woman from Washington, D.C., who is a forensic graphologist who helps us understand that through our handwriting, our nervous system is expressed because handwriting is a brain function. So we want to further understand, you know, what makes us tick? Why do we do these things? Where are our strengths? Where are our weaknesses? How can we move forward in life? So we really have a myriad of backgrounds. And in GGG, we're always focused on moving women forward by celebrating their truth, by understanding what they've been doing that's not getting them the results they want, and providing them with resources and tools so that they can move forward in a more healthier, expressive way.
And again, for those of you just joining us, you're listening to Celebrating Truth. I'm Faye Williams, your host, and we're talking with Dr. Carol Ann. And, Doctor, I know that some people do join us a little bit late, and I wonder if you have educational materials that are available, like books or a website or what have you, so that people can get some of the wonderful information they may have missed.
We certainly do, Dr. Williams. Our website is www.girlsgalsgurus.com, and it's all one word, all lowercase, GirlsGalsGurus, girlsgalsgurus.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're fast running out of time here, but I just wonder if you would say something about your compelling mission and purpose and give our listeners a little bit more understanding of Girls, Gals, and Gurus. For instance, some may have missed the beginning when you talked about that. Explain what you mean by Girls, Gals, and Gurus just briefly.
Certainly. Every woman within themselves comes to a place of understanding that they have a choice. And moving forward in a period of evolution, what Girls, Gals, and Gurus does is identifies behaviors as it relates to how we move, how we think, and what we eat, and how any of these challenges can either relate to moving a woman forward or moving her backwards, depending on where she's stuck in life, and having resources that allow her to be a better version of herself moving forward in life so she can have a better impact on her family, on her business, on our community, and on a global mission to really move women forward.
Now, I wanted to ask a question about young children and playing sports. I know a lot of parents are beginning to back away from wanting their children to play sports. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think that good sportsmanship and sports inherently teach some invaluable lessons in life, Dr. Williams, and I think that it's important to encourage participation in a sport. I also think it's important that we teach good lessons in sports, meaning that there's a winner and there's a loser, and what it is to be a gentleman and a respectful young lady. And I think that those are attributes that we should not discourage. I think that those are lessons that we move forward with in life, and they're valuable. I think as far as things like repetitive head traumas and forcing a child to go back in to suck it up, as they say, mm-hmm. and continuing mm-hmm. to work in situations that could be deleterious to their health, I think that we need to take a better responsibility for where to draw the line on that. And in mm-hmm. that regard, I think that we could do a better job at policing what's something where we should pull an athlete out versus push them. So I think that there are limitations to certain capacities, and we need to honor those.
And my final question will have to be, drugs, all drugs, I mean, legal or illegal, including those, you know, that have prescriptions, sometimes like vitamin A and vitamin B can get eaten up by those drugs. And I wonder if there is something that can be done to restore those two vitamins, you know, in athletes who do take these drugs.
Excellent question. You know, Dr. Williams, one of the things I've learned in my 25 years as a holistic practitioner is that not all supplementation is built alike. And you're right, a prescription drug is no different than an over-the-counter drug, and sometimes a synthetic supplement is where we run into the same challenges, which is why I'm such a proponent of things like whole food-based nutrition. I've been utilizing something called standard process in my practice for many years for that reason, because how can you describe what's in a carrot? It's not an isolate. It's not vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E. It's all of the things that we need with all of the cofactors and minerals that work together to create all the necessary chemical reactions so the body can heal faster, because it recognizes whole food-based nutrition. So there is a solution, and it's one that we are working very diligently on through programs like our Military Access Program and Rest, Repair, and Recovery, through standard process, that we can start to work with collegiate-level athletes as well as high school athletes and growing children. They don't get enough of the nutrition because, you know, we live in a fast-paced life, and fast-paced food doesn't always have Brussels sprouts and beets and asparagus and sweet potatoes in them.
Well, I certainly want to. I baked my sweet potatoes today, I want you to know.
Good girl.
I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us. That's how we grow, is sharing our stories with one another, and that's what we do here on Celebrating Truth. Thank you again for being with us, and we want our listeners to know that all of our programs are archived. If you missed the beginning of what we talked about, you can certainly go to our archives at artistfirst.com, click on Celebrating Truth, and the date of the message that you wanted to hear. Thank you again, Dr. Carol Ann.
A pleasure, Dr. Williams, and thank you so much for all you do and represent.
Okay. And to our listeners, we encourage you and all of your friends to please join as members of the National Congress of Black Women. You can do that online at nationalcongressbw.org. And when you look around your community and you think about community services at its best, we want you to think that's the National Congress of Black Women, because we are truly women making a difference in our community. We're going to take a little break right now, and when we come back, we'll be talking with the one and only Mr. Dick Gregory.
Now back to Celebrating Truth with your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you, Corey, and welcome back to Celebrating Truth. We'll be talking for the next few minutes with Dick Gregory, well-known, wonderful civil and human rights activist. And I just want to say hello to you this evening and welcome to the show.
God bless you, and thank you very much, and peace and love, and happy holiday to you and all your listeners.
Okay, now,
Celebrating Truth.
Last night here in Washington, D.C., we stood in the cold for hours as the park police tore down a structure while the park, apparently, you know, the other parks went unmonitored. We were wondering what was happening to the criminals and all the others out there. But what were your thoughts as you saw all of those uniformed officers out there working against their own interests?
Well, that always happens when you're in authority and don't have no authority. You know, I've watched these demonstrations now from one end of the country to the other, from Wall Street to here to California to Houston. And remember one thing. You looked at that horrible scene in California, University of California, Davis, where they were being maced, the young folks are sitting there peaceful. And then you ask yourself a question. They've never stood in front of a prostitute house and maced the pimps. They never stood, you know, last night, which was very interesting, they had horses there all day. And these were the fattest horses, and I guess they used these horses to scare people. Because when you go to these shows or parades, They thin horses. But I've never seen them take a big old fat horse or a thin horse to a mafia headquarters. And yet last night when we were standing out there, one of the cops up on the cherry picker when they was trying to tear it down was taking pictures of us in the crowd. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if cops across America, federal cops and local cops, would take them same cameras and stand across the street from a drug house? How many people you think would go to that drug house if they know when they walked in there'd be filmed? And so you look and you see that police, being a cop in America is not a good job. It's a bad job. That's why you see so many of them is on the take. So many of them get in trouble for shaking down because they're not paid according to their worth. You know, if you had to list the top three people in a society, a free democratic society, it would first be the firefighters. Firefighters. Because if you didn't have firefighters, the whole town could burn down. Second would be the school teachers. And third would be the cops. And yet and still, neither one of those occupations get the respect or the money they do. And so when you put a person in a position and don't give them the respect or the reward, they do strange things. And so here's a cop leaves the house. He don't know if he's coming back. She don't know if she's coming back. And, you know, talk about their interests. I wonder how many women in America know that before the 1960s civil rights movement, a woman in America couldn't be a cop. All a woman could do was be a clerk at the police station. After the civil rights movement, when that legislation came through, aimed at us, but it didn't say for Negroes only. Now, you not only have women police, you got women heading departments, you have women heading narcotics departments, homicide departments, and so...
And here in Washington, D.C., we have a police chief who is a woman.
That's right. And so they don't know, you know, they can't see that. They can't see people who sits out. That's not really talking about, get a job. Well, you got people who had jobs can't find jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. And 90% of those folks out there across this country that's Democrat, they're not uneducated. They can get a job. They keep saying, why do I want to work in a munitions plant? Why do I want to work with somebody that make money selling weapons of death? Why do I want to work for someone that's doing all kind of shady stuff, but the money gets clean when it goes to the bank? And so that's what they're talking about. And so when you sit there last night, you know, it's interesting when they say, well, they won't be here through the first snow. Wait a minute. Do you realize white folks have created a $1 trillion industry called skiing? You know, they go all over the world. They be skiing in the Alps, knowing there'd be avalanches coming, and five or six of them die. They keep going. And so one of the big surprises that I think America is seeing today is a group of young folks, a handful of old folks, women, men, black, white, Latinos are out there, and they can't understand this. And the reason they can't understand it, because the folks, most of the folks, are afraid. They wouldn't buck authority. You know how many people that go to the military, not because they love America, because they're scared if they didn't go, what would happen to them? And so consequently, when we look at what we're seeing and we're looking at history, see, in the early days of the Civil Rights Movement, nobody realized where that movement was going. All of us out there, we knew one thing. We don't know how many of us would be killed, how many of us would be framed, how many of us be put in mental hospitals. We did one thing. We would win because we knew we were right. And so when you look at this, you don't even have to be smart to figure this one out. The Occupy's going to win because they are right. Now, this huge, massive government, you see, them cops is not out there protecting. They ain't worried about you said it earlier. How many homicides and rapes happened in Washington, D.C. this weekend? They had the Washington cops was there. You had the Park District cops there. Well, look at the parks in America. How many crimes they have happened in parks in America? People sitting in forest fires and all of that. But they had I guess they had over 150 minimum of cops out there.
Yes.
And so
for peaceful people.
Yeah. And then you look at them yelling and screaming, well, what's wrong with that? I looked at some of the evil looks on the cops' faces, and I wondered, when a cop go in, there's a homicide committed, a woman and her baby's been wiped out, or a father and his whole family's been, I wonder what kind of look do they have on their face then? Or do they just go in and try to gather evidence and find out what's going to happen? They are frightened of this because the people in charge is frightened of what they're looking at. And so I just say, you know, America, those of you that don't understand what's happening, and I hear the same things they say to them. They told us, oh, you stink. Go back to the jungles. You know, and let me tell you the fight we had when we went into the South. Segregated buses, segregated was legal. So they had legality on their side. We had truth and right and righteousness on our side. And so when you sit there last night, and if you look at the people in the audience, the people that's there cheering them on, they're not mean and bitter. And they saying here, these are facts. This is what's going on in America today. And yet, nobody want to do anything with it. And here's that group of young folks that decided we're going to come out and we're going to do something about it. And what I think is going to happen is you're going to see the country shut down because most of the folks in America don't think they for real and don't think they enjoy. And then I look at the respect the mafia get. They did 5 Godfather movies showing them as heroes. Godfather. And yet and still, these are our children. These are our young folks that's out there taking on a task that none of us would take on by ourselves. And they talk about, well, what do y'all want? Well, anybody can organize and get this much publicity and these many people aware of what they're doing. This is not, see, as long as it's happened in Egypt, we pulling for them. As long as it's happened overseas in the Middle East, we pulling for them. But when it comes home, when people talk about all the people that's living in the street, if you look at the veterans, you know, they're supposed to be our heroes. 42% of homeless people in the streets today in America are not just veterans, but 90% of them have mental problems. And so when will we wake up and see what these young folks who are in the leadership is talking about?
Well, you know, last night as I looked into the faces of some of those police officers, it appeared that some of them were there only because they were ordered to be there. Do you think some of those police get it and they understand they're part of the 99%?
Go back to Nazi Germany, baby. All them folks that was doing that to the Jews wasn't doing it because they was hating Jews. They was picked for the military, and they was told what to do. When you sit and look at all the horror that you see happening, but just like Hitler and them Nazis couldn't win, they had the military on their side, but they didn't have right. Look, if they want to look and see where this is going, go back and look at India. Look at India that took on, at that time, the mightiest army in the history of the planet with no bullets, no guns, just a commitment to willing to die to get out from underneath your colonialism. And so when you stop and think about the civil rights movement, we took on the mightiest nation in the history of the planet, the mightiest nation with no guns, no meanness, no bitterness. And when they stop their shooting and stop their dogs, and we told them, bring on your dogs, it won't work. Then try your elephants, it won't work. And why do you think they don't use hoses now? In a minute, they know it don't work. We proved that. And so consequently, I know some of the cops. You will see some of the cops, the incident they had in Albany, New York, about a month and a half ago, where the governor called out the state police, the mayor of Albany called out the city police, because they was occupying a park right across the street from Albany, across the street from the state capitol. And when the state police and the city police got there, they said, no, we're not going to arrest them. They're not breaking no laws. The headlines the next day, state police and the city police army disobeyed their leaders. And the guy said, look, we cops know more about demonstration than governors and mayors. And so they see that. If you look over in London, one of the strongest, most powerful churches in the world, St. Paul Cathedral, the occupied people went there, stood outside, shut it down. Two of the bishops quit and came out and joined them. And so this movement is not just local. It's worldwide. And it's the first time we had a worldwide movement with no guns.
Well, I'm very proud of the fact that here in Washington, D.C., we have a woman who is police chief, Police Chief Kathy Lanier. And the city police here have been much, much better than what we have seen around the country. I called her. I asked her about the Occupy movement and whether, our police were going to be doing anything crazy. And she assured me they have a good relationship. This is the city police. They have a good relationship with the Occupy people. Therefore, we've not had the kind of things happen involving the city police as we've seen in other areas. These were the federal police last night, the park police that were not violent. I'm not suggesting they were violent, but they did tear down the church that the people on the park had built. And I understand that the similar thing may have happened in Orlando last night. I never thought we'd get to the day where police would be tearing down a church. But, strange things are happening. But the interesting thing was, as we were leaving last night, more and more people were coming to be supportive of the Occupy movement. And I think as we go along, we're going to see more and more people getting it. Well, I certainly thank you for sharing your wisdom with us, as you always are willing to do. We're just about out of time right now, and I want to invite our listeners to plan now to be with us next year in the National Congress of Black Women at our annual awards brunch, when we'll again meet in Washington, D.C. the Sunday morning, September 23rd, 2012, following the Congressional Black Caucus. We have a lot of great information on our website. Again, don't forget to go to nationalcongressbw.org. Take a look at some of our projects like College for Kids and Young Ambassadors, sponsored by our friends at Comcast. And, of course, our other sponsor is Southwest Airlines. I invite you to read some of my weekly news articles as well as firsthand information from the White House on our website at nationalcongressbw.org. Again, we thank our listeners and our guests for spending this time with us on Celebrating Truth. Celebrating Truth is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women, and we invite you to join us as donors or as members. You may call us at 202-678-6788. And, of course, our website is nationalcongressbw.org. Don't forget also, as we leave you, to follow us on Twitter at CTruthProducer and join us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com, type in Celebrating Truth. You'll find us there. And remember to check out the National Congress of Black Women and the great work we do around the country. Also, don't forget to listen to Urban Radio 2000 on our website at nationalcongressbw.org. You'll find music you love there. And if there's no chapter in your town, just give us a call at 202-678-6788 or email us at info@nationalcongressbw.org, and we'll get you started. This past weekend, as I said, we formed a wonderful chapter in Birmingham, Alabama. So if you're in that area or whatever area you're in and you want to find out if we have a chapter there, call us at 202-678-6788. And that's it for Celebrating Truth today. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Monday.